In a world full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
Oh, me? What am I drinking? This is juice. Juice is really good for you, especially this juice. This is tart cherry juice with a splash of organic cranberry juice. My wife gets this stuff, make it at home, because first off, it's super sour, and I like sour things. But it helps reduce inflammation, and that's really good for recovery and all those things. Penn State football players actually drink this stuff after practice, the tart cherry juice, to help with recovery. Now, it's not just your diet that you need juice with. It's also your football team. You really need to have some juice on both sides of the football to really be a complete explosive team. And under James Franklin, they've been able to do that. Four of the last six seasons, the Nittany Lions have had a top three rusher in terms of explosive plays, according to PFF. That's, you know, big time runs, anything over 15 yards. So this season, heading into spring ball, the Nittany Lions starting running back is Kevon Lee. And he's a good runner, and there's no denying that he's a quality Big Ten runner, but he ranked 13th in the ability to make explosive plays according to PFF last year. Last year was one of the years where they didn't have an explosive runner in the backfield, thanks to the fact that Journey Brown had to quit football because of a heart condition. But it's not like they don't have talent in the backfield. Devin Ford is a four-star recruit who is an explosive play waiting to happen. They have Keziah Holmes. He is another dynamic running back who's super fast and has great size and is a home run waiting to happen. And of course, then they have John Lovett, which they got in the transfer portal, who's used to Big 12 offenses, which is more of what James Franklin brought in this offseason with Mike Yurcich. The problem is, and the question is, heading into 2021, they're all big play potentials waiting to happen. So where's the juice?
Yeah, and that's part of the running back, you know, whether it's Kevon breaking tackles to create those explosive plays. And he runs better than you think, to be honest with you. Just you don't think that way when you got a 237-pound back. But we got a bunch of backs that we think that can provide that. And that's part of the backs either breaking tackles or making people miss. That is the O-line and tight ends creating space for those explosive plays. And then it's also through scheme.
That's Penn State head coach James Franklin pointing out accurately that there's more than one way to juice berry. Now, that's true, but there are players that are better at creating explosive plays than others. Speed, obviously, is a really big factor in that. And as far as the players that can do that on a regular basis, running back coach Jaywan Sider says Devin Ford, amongst all the players, is talented, supremely talented.
We say it every year, and he is one of the most talented kids on our team, even as a running back. But at some point, we got to stop talking about how talented you are, and you got to put it together. You got to put it together for a whole season. I thought he did some really good stuff for us. I thought he played well versus Ohio State. I thought he did some good stuff versus Nebraska. And the Rutgers game, he came back off an injury. You know, then he got hurt. And then when you open the door for young guys, I mean, they took advantage of it. So for him, it's just better to put a whole season together. I still believe in that kid. I still think he bring a presence to what we do offensively, running the ball, catching the ball in the return game. I still believe in his potential as a player. Now we just got to get it. You know, we all talking about what potential. Potential is nothing if you don't tap into it. It's time for him to take the next step. It's going to be his third year.
Now, 2020, again, was a bit strange for everybody, but Devin Ford definitely took a step back in terms of being able to generate big plays like we talked about earlier. PFF has him with only two rushes of over 15 yards in 2020, which is a dramatic decrease from 2019. Another problem is that he's going backwards when it comes to his listed weight. This spring in the guide for Penn State football spring scrimmage, he was listed at 196 pounds. Now, for his part, Ford says that is not an accurate number.
Oh, that's not an accurate measure at all. I probably gained at least a couple more pounds and then since then. So it's not a couple build. Feel good, feel nice. Yeah.
Now, in the end, weight is just a number. At a certain point, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the functional strength in your body, the ability to break tackles and run away from defenders in the open field. And Ford has some natural ability there, but it does not seem like he's enhanced that over his three seasons with the Nittany Lions. We normally see players, when they get into the weightlifting program, they can go up upwards of 10, 15 pounds in body weight of good lean muscle mass. Ford has gone the opposite way. Even if he's over 200 pounds, he was listed at 205 last year, so he's at best hovering around the same weight. Now, we focus a lot on Devin Ford here, but it's not just about the consistency of Ford in the weight room. It's all the running backs and their consistency, according to James Franklin.
Devin Ford is shown flashes, but I think as a group in general, you know, we still need to be a little bit more consistent. I think there's still a lot left in the tank at that position and even with Devin. And I think that's, you know, you can make the argument that's also exciting because, you know, they've shown flashes, but it's all about consistency day in and day out, you know, when opportunities arise, being able to maximize them. But I'm seeing Devin do good things more often and more consistently, but still not where we need it to be.
So when we first checked in with James Franklin today, he mentioned that there are multiple different ways in which you can create explosive plays and not just through the physical talent of the player running the football. And he explained that all the things you do on offense, all those other fancy things, one of their functions is to create these explosive plays.
You know, and that's what the RPOs are all about and what Mike calls the TTOs, which are like the triple option type things, where you're putting people in conflict and creating space that way by making people defend 53 and a third. So the explosive plays in the run game will come kind of through all those things, through all those things.
So think about that as like manufacturing juice. You're not going to hand press and squeeze your own juice. You're going to go and machine some, right? Because I'm a huge nerd, I wanted to know exactly how that works. So I asked new offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich, how do you create explosive plays?
So we've got to make sure that we're in good looks. That's something I control. That's my responsibility. The key is to make sure that you're giving your guys the best chance based on the front, based on the coverage, you know, the angles, right? You're trying to create angles and space for your guys. So that's the biggest thing. So whether we have to be in a 3x1 or whether we have to be in a 2x2 or, 12 personnel, whatever it takes to get an advantage schematically, it's all about angles, leverage, right, and space.
So that kind of brings us to the point, not to undercut everything we've talked about, but the running back really is a product of circumstances at times. If you can put your guys with angles and space in the right place to make a play, then they need to consistently make those plays. Make the plays that are expected before you worry about the higher end stuff of breaking tackles and making big plays. Because ultimately, a running back is the product of the situation and the circumstances around them. So you're going to be the best version of yourself if your offensive line opens up the hole consistently for you to run through. You're going to be the best version of yourself if your offensive coordinator is able to call plays and accurately predict what the defense is going to do to give you those angles and space. And if you haven't checked it out yet, our podcast about Sean Clifford, pretty important, because if you have a passing attack that threatens defenses at every level of the field, including in the flat, got to make sure somebody's deep, you can't forget about this guy. If you can do all of that, the running back has so much room to run in college football. We're down now to maybe 5-6 defenders in the box, so if you can just take advantage of those situations, you're doing your job as a running back. The next step is what we're talking about here. And that is if you're able to create above and beyond what the offense is giving you. That is those explosive plays, those dynamic things you saw from Saquon Barkley in 2015 through 2017. Those are the plays that can then elevate the things around you. You can do that, and again, you can do that in a number of ways, from speed to vision to efficiency of movement to power. So that's really what we're talking about here, is not necessarily can the running game be good because there's a baseline, but can it be exceptional? Is there a guy that can elevate the running game to be better than it is? Because there's a lot of guys on the roster, but is there a guy that can elevate the running game so that it is a threat at all times, and teams then have to take players out of coverage to make things easier for Sean Clifford? Ultimately, Mike Yurcich, I don't know if he, well, actually, he said, I don't know if he's even thinking about that right now.
Explosive plays, you know, the most important thing in the run game is that we stay on schedule. That's the most important thing for me right now, is to not be in second and eighth.
Now, in that aspect, Penn State is in a good position because they've been able to recruit a couple of power backs that can keep the offense on schedule and even eke out more yards than you might expect without being home run threats, without the big plays that you're used to seeing of just being able to run away from everybody. Of course, we're talking about Noah Kane, the breakout star of 2019, who helped seal games, win games for the Nittany Lions as a true freshman versus Pitt and Iowa, and then later in the bowl game versus Memphis with just really solid running. And then, of course, he was injured at the beginning of 2019, and Keevon Lee, 6 foot, 230-pound true freshman, came in and ultimately was the team's lead back after injuries to Kane, and then Ford ultimately supplanted him on top of the roster. Now, in that aspect, Keevon Lee maybe is a sneaky good runner, according to James Franklin.
Keevon is your, you know, typical 237 power back in the Big Ten that is always running north-south. Me and Mike were talking about it the other day, and Jaywan, you know, he's the guy that you look at the end of the game and you think he played pretty good, but he's got 115 yards and two touchdowns because he's just north-south and he's always falling forward. So a run that's supposed to be 4 yards, he gets six. Run that's supposed to be 5 yards, he gets seven. He's that type of back, and he's got really good vision. And I think he's doing a better job of understanding who he is. It was times last year where he tried to bounce things, and that's not really who he is, at least at this stage. Now he'll bounce a thing, but as soon as he bounces his read, he sticks his foot in the ground, it gets back north-south again. So I think he's had a nice spring. I think the offensive line has really done some nice things overall this spring. We'll have to watch the tape from today.
So that's really, to me, the best hope for Penn State football fans for the offense in 2021, because as we've seen over the last couple of years, Sean Clifford has not elevated the offense. And if you want more on that, you can go check out our last podcast, Is Sean Clifford Good? It's on the YouTube channel. It's on Spotify. Like, subscribe, review, all those things. Hey, by the way, did I mention you should probably subscribe to one of the channels that you're listening? YouTube is the best, by the way, because I do a lot of video stuff here. But, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. We talked about Sean Clifford last week and how he hasn't elevated the offense. So this is the thing, is how then do you elevate the offense so that it is not a one-dimensional or rudimentary thing as it got to last year? 2019, they relied on Journey Brown and Noah Kane as the catalyst for the offense, which ultimately became the offensive line as the catalyst for the team, which culminated in a historic performance in the Cotton Bowl versus Memphis. 2020, they lost that dynamism. As good as Keevon Lee was, he was a true freshman, and he's not a dynamic back. He's a little upright, he's a little stiff, and he's not the same player as Noah Kane. Noah Kane is a much more agile, fluid athlete. Neither of them are fast, neither of them are home run hitters, but as James Franklin talked about, there has been an improvement you've seen in Keevon Lee over time in his ability to know who he is, make those quick bounces, and then get back north and south. That can generate big plays. In the Michigan game, that generated a lot of big plays for the Nittany Lions on the ground. They're going to need to do that unless Sean Clifford is able to take a quantum leap and become a threat in the passing game. The Penn State running game, someone is going to have to step up to be a dynamic threat to create a balance to make things easier for Clifford and the passing attack. Now, Keevon Lee is the best hope at this point, but there are players on the roster, and I do think that bringing in John Lovett from Baylor is a sign that they weren't quite content with the young guys on the roster making that next leap by next fall. Now, Keziah Holmes is still a redshirt, would be a redshirt freshman at this point. And Devin Ford, as we've talked about, hasn't taken a big step forward in any measurable way to be the number two, to be the one or the two in a 1-2 punch. So that leaves Noah Kane. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very confused as to what's going on with Noah Kane. He was injured on the very first drive of the 2020 season, and we have not seen him since then. He was not ready to play the first half of spring practice, and the media was able to see the spring practice in front of the freshmen last week. He was not playing then, and James Franklin talked about his status before the practice and before the scrimmage last week.
So Noah has been able to go, not full go, not in live settings, but he is getting reps, which I think has been good. In my mind, he's probably a little bit further ahead than I anticipated him being. So the reps have been good that he's been able to get.
Now, ultimately, it is good that they do have depth and options in the running back room. And by the way, this is why you recruit two running backs a cycle. You get as many 4- and 5-star players as possible, because it's not just that you're going to have two, at most three, but most of the times two backs that rotate in and see significant snaps. It is also that when you miss, you are not left with a void of talent at the position, really at any position. And that goes for quarterback as well, because if you look at the situation that Penn State is in right now, they've taken plenty of quarterbacks. They've taken plenty of quality quarterbacks, but they find themselves with exactly one right now. So you need to have options and depth, and you need to have possibilities so that one of these things works out for your team. And despite what I've talked about here, Jaywon Sider, he is optimistic and he does feel good about the players he has in his running back room.
In this room, we got 4 or 5 guys that done started a college football game. I mean, this thing is wide open. Who's going to compete? Are we going to take a back seat once Noah come? Are we going to push Noah for the job? You know, that's been the mentality. You know, I tell all the kids, you don't take a back seat to nobody. You compete and you get what you earn. And I think we're in a great place overall with the whole room.
So that's really interesting when you look at the full picture of what Penn State has at the running back room, because it's not just about who's running back number one. It's not just about who's the starter. It's about what skills are each player bringing to the table, and do you have all of the skills needed at the running back position expressed in at least one back on your roster? So do you have a guy that can catch? Do you have a power guy? Do you have a speed guy? Do you have all of these things, or are they all rolled up into one player? No matter how you slice it, you're going to need all of those things to be an explosive, dynamic offense. Now, to James Franklin and his staff, the most important thing is the passing game, to get that fixed and to get that situation settled, and then everything will flow from there. But again, we go back to the idea that they're assuming the positive. If we look at it from an objective view, we don't necessarily have to assume the positive. So then how do you go about creating an offense that can still function on the Big Ten level and keep you competitive? Now, Mike Yurcich is a great offensive coordinator that can scheme up yards if you've seen what he's done at other places like Oklahoma State. So ultimately, the success and failure of the team is going to ride on players that aren't the running backs. That being said, it'd be nice to have some more juice.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
It really is sour, you know. But apparently this is really good for me. There's no sugar in here. None. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this, but you should like, subscribe, and review to the podcast, because we're going to be doing more stuff like this, and you're going to find it in more and more places. As we announced this week, we're now a part of the Keystone Sports Network, so that's super awesome. So you can find us on the KSN app, the Keystone Sports app. I'll be appearing once a week on the Keystone Sports Network show, or the Keystone Kickoff show, every Wednesday. So that's super exciting news that we're going to be found in more places. But the best way to get more of this, to get more juice from me, is if you like, subscribe. I don't care if you review, just like and subscribe. I gotta pee. That was a lot of juice.